Our Old Testament reading comes from Genesis chapter 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, and he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, "O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham went quickly into the tent and to Sarah and said, "Quick, 3 seahs of flour, knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She's in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes to us from Colossians chapter 1. "You who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." This is the word of the Lord. Gospel comes to us from Luke chapter 10. "Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Reformation, like all great movements in history, produced a few slogans. Some were polemic, like "Here I Stand" or "Three Roman Walls." Luther himself was something of a genius at polemic. Some were consoling, The word of the Lord stands forever. That one gained purchase primarily among second-generation Lutherans when the early hopes had been dashed against political reality. But its main slogan was doctrine. Grace alone, faith alone, word alone. Those are the solas of the Reformation. And it's said that every sermon is preached first at the minister who gives it. And I suppose that's why I think I lean more heavily on that grace alone plank most Sundays. For me, I need the grace. It's not the doctrinal point that it's by grace alone that I have trouble with. It's often just the reality of it. The world, to me, often seems capricious and random and cruel for grace to be real. So I need that cross. I need that resurrection and that baptism and this meal. I need those real mysteries of grace and of His grace in our midst. But today's text isn't really about that grace alone. This is about that faith alone and that word alone. And it's a useful reminder after the parable of the Good Samaritan from last week. Jesus and His disciples are continuing the journey to Jerusalem, that journey towards the cross. And all of those villages that He sent the 72 out towards to proclaim the kingdom get to see the king passing on His way. And they enter one of those villages, and Martha welcomes them into her house. And we can remember from a couple weeks ago all of the instructions given. Stay there. Accept what they give. Let your peace rest upon that house. The laws of hospitality would call for a meal to be set in front, just like Abraham in our Old Testament story, taking care of the Lord in His midst. And Jesus has at least 12 others for His company. It's not a small group. So Martha, like Abraham and Sarah, not wanting the Lord to just pass by, is distracted with much serving. That peace is not exactly resting on Martha. In the terms laid out in the prior chapter, though, Martha is being a neighbor. But Martha has a sister, Mary, who by any reasonable expectation would be helping with the servant. But Mary, who has got to be the youngest child, any eldest knows what I mean, Mary sits at the feet of the Lord, listening to His teaching. If we remember the lawyer from last week, he too was sitting. But then he stood to ask his question. That sitting there is the posture of the disciple. But where that guy, that lawyer, was testing Jesus, Mary is just taking it in. Here, we find that peace resting. And these two sisters, Martha and Mary, set up the teaching. Martha complains to Jesus, "Tell my sister to get busy. You said, go and be a neighbor. The importance of service has been emphasized. Well, tell Mary to get busy. Lord, do you not care that she does nothing?" But Jesus answers, "Martha, Martha." The text has him repeat her name twice. And I fear that we might take this as patronizing, but it really isn't. That double invocation of the name is a sign of the importance and of endearment if something is a little off. Out of the burning bush, the angel of the Lord says, "Moses, Moses." He tells him to take off his shoes because it's holy ground. Before he goes on to call Moses to bring Israel to the promised land. Abraham gets that double name as well, right before he would follow through with the sacrifice of Isaac. Abraham, Abraham, stop. It's not you who will sacrifice. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? There are a few others. Samuel, Samuel. And Martha gets linked with all of those names. She's getting called, but corrected at the same time. Her call in regards to God is not a direct service. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Christ has not come demanding service, but he's come to serve. Christ is not looking for our sacrifice, but he is the sacrifice. Jesus tells Martha, "You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary." And there's nothing that we can actively do to receive that one thing. Martha, with all of her serving and running about, is missing it, while Mary passively receives it. The work of Christ, this trip to the cross, is given through faith alone, by that word alone. It's not given through our hospitality or our merit. The quality of our worship of God does not affect that one necessary thing. The quality of the inn we might run doesn't change the one necessary thing. God needs nothing from us, and we couldn't give him anything if we wanted to. But through the word alone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, reading the word, hearing it proclaimed, receiving him in the sacraments, we receive the promises. And by faith, those promises of God are applied to us. It was credited to Abraham as righteousness when he believed, so with us. No trouble or anxiety, because Christ has done it all for us. He's come to serve. It's not that Martha is completely wrong. None of those double names were completely wrong. She's received Christ. Grace has come into the house. She understands the need to be a neighbor. She's just got the order a little out of whack. That she's missing who is present, even though she repeatedly calls him Lord. Our epistle reading gets it in the right order. Once we were alienated and hostile, but now he is reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. He has reconciled us. And he did it to present us holy and blameless and above reproach. That righteousness of faith, that reconciliation that he has given us, is true righteousness. It's only after we have been reconciled, after we've been made whole, that we actually can do something. And that's where Paul then continues, if you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you heard, the Christian life of service, of being a neighbor, flows from that faith. And because it's grounded in the sure faith in Christ, not our works, but his work, we don't need to be troubled or anxious about it, but stable and steadfast. And that stability and that steadfastness doesn't come from looking at this world. The hope of the gospel, the direction of our faith, is not to perfect this world. God's got this world in his hands. We just leave that to him. But here we would expect trials. And in the midst of those trials, like Paul, we can rejoice in our sufferings because they are simply Christ working in us. We're being conformed. We're being made holy. The weight of the glory of the one who is with us, who does not just pass us by, that weight is becoming real in our lives. Our hope is that even though we die, we'll see that glory. Even though the world is groaning, we'll be present at its delivery. And right now that might seem far off, but the kingdom of God is present here and now. In the Word, the glory of the Lord does not pass by, but it abides with us. By faith we've grasped it. It's already done, and it won't be taken away from us. Amen.
Closing number 580.